Can we do that all over again? I feel like I really lost the moment. Okay. You guys with me? You still with me? You still want to go where we're going? It's going to be okay. All right. I promise it. I am a highly trained religious professional. You can tell by how I pulled that off, right? Not a hitch at all in my giddy-up. Hey, I'm Ron Jones, and I have had the privilege of being with Essential over the weekend doing your marriage conference, your no-fault marriage conference, and it's been fun. I've seen a lot of you over the last couple of days, you weren't disrupted at all, were you? Like, you didn't hear anything that disturbed your peace, did you? Yeah, you probably did. We talked about marriage in terms that probably many of you have never heard before, and so you're still consolidating it and trying to get the voice of the Spirit to do what He does. And that's the really good news. The really good news is that every single person in this room can hear the voice of the Spirit. You can hear the voice of the Spirit. It's really simple. It's not that complex. You think about it. If I wanted to talk to my granddaughter, who I'm obliged to bring up in every service, I'm contractually obliged to bring up the fact that I have a granddaughter. And she's 15 months old. If I wanted to talk to her, I'm certainly not going to stand up here and lecture from a place of, you know, height and authority, right? I guess some people do that, but how do you talk to a 15-month-old that can't even walk yet and doesn't really have her words formed yet? I mean, you say things like, yes and no. Yes. Yes, let's go, go, go. Let's walk. Let's learn how to walk. No, no, no. Don't eat TT's plant, which for some reason the kid likes the taste of dirt. Whatever. So listen, I want you to listen today like this. Don't listen to me alone, but listen to me in the context of hearing the Spirit and just let Him say uh-huh or uh-uh. There are things that He'll say to you that'll be uh-huh. Well, those are good. Like, water those things. Let them grow up into eternal life. That's what we want, right? We want to be eternally alive. And then there'll be things that He says, uh-uh, that's fine. Like, I don't claim to be the voice of the Spirit. Just listen. And when He says, uh-uh, just spit it out. It's not a big deal. And don't come up to me later and say, well, the Spirit said, uh-uh. I'll fight you about it. I will. I'm just telling you. Because what He says, uh-uh, to me and uh-uh to you, is relational. And maybe you need to hear uh-uh right now. Maybe it's not time for you to hear some things I'm going to say. And maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I've been known to be wrong. This is a marriage conference weekend, so there's been a lot of speaking about wrong, because we get marriage wrong a lot, right? Are you guys awake? Did I really blow the opening there? It's like it is 9 o'clock. I think we'll heat up the crowd, right? So listen with the ears of the Spirit. You can hear Him say, uh-huh, or uh-uh. He might be saying uh-uh right now, and you're ready to leave. Hey, uh-uh, I already lost this guy. That's okay, too. You're allowed. You can leave. So we're speaking about becoming ourselves in the context of marriage. That's basically what the weekend was about, and I can summarize what I said yesterday and the day before in just a few sentences, and one would be this, that marriage is not about happiness, it's about holiness. Now, if you're not married or not married yet or don't want to get married or have been married and never want to talk about marriage again, don't get cringy. This applies to you. Everything that we're talking about applies to you. It does. It really does. Because there's huge misconceptions about what marriage does and what it can't do, right? But marriage is actually at its core about holiness, not happiness. And a corollary of that would be this. You could be in a marriage that is really working for you and isn't working for your spouse, because it's really turning you into someone who is holy while your spouse is remaining unholy. That's called conflict. And it can be really hot conflict. And also, there's another corollary of that, is that you may have been in a failed marriage, what we call a failed marriage, or a marriage that ended in divorce, and you feel like, now that's all over for me, that didn't work. But it might have worked really well, because it might have disturbed your inauthentic, unholy self and started to lead you towards holiness, which is the whole point of living. The point of living is to become a whole version of yourself, whole, holy. And becoming someone's spouse is not becoming holy. It doesn't make you holy. My wife isn't here yet. She'll be here at the next service, but she would have said amen right there. And you can too if you want to. Is this an amen saying church? Are you guys an amen saying church? I know there's like, there's always a crazy section. Like I've noticed during worship, it's right around here. Hey, that's cool. I'm just going to look over here. Come on. That's all right. Amen. There you go. We'll build our own amen section and you guys can like gravitate. All the crazies can move over this way. I've been thinking about this for a long time. Actually, Chris, last year I spoke with Chris and Steve about coming and to the marriage conference, and someone else ended up doing it. So I've been thinking a lot about this for maybe a year. What would I say to you guys if I was invited to do this? This happens to be the year of my 40th anniversary. And what's this? April. In June, I will have been married 40 years. Thank you. And really, I you could do without the clapping. What I would really like to hear is, you don't look that old. Could you say that? Thank you very much. Like, how I'm always surprised by how long it takes people to connect that. Wow, 40 years. You must have got married when you were like 10. Hey, I know, it's okay. Good genes. Good genes. But here's the thing that happened. I had in my mind, I'm like, 40 years. Wow, that's 40 years is a long time. 40 years is a long time. I'm going to do something. I need to do something cool. Because we know, right? You can't just let that milestone go by. You have to do something. And so I had in mind, like, well, what do I do? What do I do? And I asked Tina, I said, what should we, you know, should we go to South Africa? I want to go to Seal Island in South Africa. I want to swim with the great white sharks. I've always wanted to do that. You ever see that on Discovery or Shark Week? You know, they got the shark, great white sharks, they actually broach. They come in, it's cool, right? I said, I want to go down there and swim with the great white sharks. And that was like, no. It was like just that quick. No, don't want to do that. And I said, okay, well, then I want to go to Machu Picchu. And I want to hike up there. And I've never seen Machu Picchu. And then it was like, is it going to be hot? I'm like, I don't know. I don't guess it'll be hot. It'll be up in the mountains somewhere. And then I went on from there. So hot must be an issue. It's menopause. Because she doesn't look that old either, but she is. Don't say that I said that. But heat is a problem, you know, because of the whole, you know, hot flash thing. So anyway, like those of you who are under like 40 are like, what's he talking about? Trust me. It's coming, all right? So heat was a problem. I said, well, I tell you what. Let's go to Antarctica. I always wanted to see where Shackleton was shipwrecked and go and maybe see the places where all the Antarctic explorers, you know, went. And she was like, well, that seems a little extreme. And it doesn't seem like there would be a lot to see besides, like, icebergs, ice, and wooden shacks that nobody lives in anymore. And I don't really blame her about that. Anyway, in the middle of all this, the Holy Spirit interrupted me with my planning of my celebration of 40 years, my gala 40-year celebration of marriage. And he said, I tell you what, and this is the way the Spirit talks to me. If he doesn't speak to you, just stick with it's fine. He develops conversation with us over the years, and this is what he says to me at this point. Hey, instead of you planning someplace to celebrate what you've done for 40 years, why don't you figure out a way to go pour out everything I gave you for 40 years? That's the kind of stuff that the Spirit says. And you just go, oh, there's no arguing with that. Because I haven't done anything for 40 years. Like, what am I going to say to you? I'll tell you something I hate about marriage conferences. I said this over the weekend. Is I hate going to marriage conferences where some idiot stands up with their wife, and the idiot's husband and wife tell you about all of their stuff and how good it's been and how all the 10 things that they've done that you have not done and you can't do because that water's underneath that bridge and that ship has already sailed. But they come off looking really good and you come off feeling really guilty and really inadequate and really hopeless. And it's just crap. It's like that. I remember specifically 30 years ago going to a marriage conference. It actually wasn't a marriage conference, just Sunday morning, just like this. And idiot husband, idiot wife, here's our 10 things. We did devotions with our kids every night. We prayed. We did all the things. And I'm just thinking, like, what if you're out there and, you know, you're a single mom or a single dad or you're a blended family and you have, like, an 18-year-old kid and a 4-year-old kid. Oh, we did family devotions. You know, like the 18-year-old's like, what the, yeah, what is this? The 4-year-old's like, and drooling. And like they always come off looking good, and you always come off looking sad, and like you haven't quite, you don't have what it takes. Listen, I don't want to talk to you out of strength. I want to talk to you out of weakness. The Holy Spirit has saved my life, but He saved my marriage, and that was just part of the process. It's like everything that He's done over 40 years has been good, but it hasn't been easy. Because becoming a self is hard in this world. Like you see Neo get shot in the chest, right? That's in the clip. And it, pow, pow, pow. Yeah, you know why Neo could get shot in the chest in one scene and stand up and say no to the bullets in the other? It's because in one scene, he's Mr. Anderson. He's Mr. Anderson. He's a son of the earth. That's who he is. You see that? Mr. Anderson is the son of the earth. And the agents of the earth, who are the people with the guns and the sunglasses, can shoot him in the chest, can shoot him right through his heart, can put him down to the place where he just falls over dead. It's a pretty brutal scene, isn't it? I mean, it's pretty brutal. But the son of the earth can be shot in the heart. And actually, it doesn't take a gun to shoot you in the heart and put you on the ground. The bullets that penetrate us can come from almost anywhere. They can come from your mom and dad. Maybe your mom and dad neglected you. Or maybe you were sexually abused. Or maybe your wife or your husband is an idiot and says that you're an idiot and abuses you and treats you poorly. You know, there's plenty of ways to get shot in the heart. Yeah, it's always interesting when you say things about husbands and wives and you look around the room and you see if anybody's doing this. Yeah, like, just be still When a guy on the stage is talking about marriage, just keep your hands down. It's like an auction. Don't do that. You bought it all, right? But what's going on in that scene is that Trinity, the woman who leans over the chair that Neo is in, Trinity is her name. Trinity. Yeah. Trinity speaks to the true self across two worlds, across a divide that no one can bridge. You can't step across there. It's separated. They're completely different places. But Trinity leans down into the face of Neo and says, "I love you." And kisses him on the lips. And Neo becomes Neo. He becomes, well, in our analogy, in our metaphor, he becomes a son of God. Right? He becomes Neo, new, born again, new man. He's not Mr. Anderson anymore. And then what happens? He breathes in for the first time. It's amazing. Do you remember the first time you breathed in? Like, maybe you haven't breathed in yet. Maybe you've never taken the first breath of heaven's air and went, everything could be different. My whole life could be different. Listen, this is not far away as it looks. You see how close it is? You're this close to being kissed by heaven. Everybody in this room, you're not far away. What does the scripture say? It's not far away. The words are even in your mouth. They're even in your mouth. It's not far away. And heaven's kiss is that close. And Trinity leans close and kisses you on the lips, and you take the first breath of heaven's air, and you stand up. Now you stand up. The new man. And then what happens? This is actually pretty funny because it's kind of true. The very first thing when you stand up, somebody wants to kill you. They want to shoot bullets right through the same name that you were. You're not Neo. You're Mr. Anderson. And I'm going to put you back on the ground where you belong. This is my favorite scene in all of movies. It comes back to me over and over and over as I think through it over and over. And this is perfectly applicable to a marriage weekend because nobody can shoot you in the heart quite like a spouse. If you're thinking about getting married, you better know this before you get married. If you've been married, you already know. And if you're wounded, you need to stand up in your true identity and know who you are and do just exactly. You see how gentle it is? Look, before the bullets are even fired, if you watch the clip, if you go back to it, before the bullets even fly, before he even looks in that direction, he just goes, no. 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 Listen, people of God, who are facing things that are deadly, your no is incredibly powerful. Our no is incredibly powerful. This culture is so jacked up. Like there is no political solution to what's going on in our culture, in our world. It's not a political solution. And that is a political statement. I know. There's no political solution. And saying no doesn't mean saying no at the ballot box or protesting this or that. No, our no is so much bigger than that. Here's our no. Here's how big your no is. You can't make me afraid. You can't make me afraid. And you're not going to make me act like a son of the earth again. I will be the son of God that I am, and I will say no to the things that you shoot at me. And look at this. Here's what's beautiful in the scene, too. He just picks the bullet right out of the air. Now, here's the thing. There are things that are going to be shot at you that ought to be shot at you because you're an idiot. You do stupid things all the time. My wife has said plenty of things to me that, like, I should pick them out of the air and I should look at him and I say, you're right, honey. That thing that I did right there is that was stupid. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have written checks because I had more checkbooks. That's a joke from the weekends, back when we used to write checks. And I thought more checkbooks meant more money. So, and you look at that and you take it for what it is, and you drop it. It doesn't go through your heart. Doesn't penetrate your authentic identity. All it is a bullet. Listen, there are so many bullets flying right now that the people of God need to just say no. It's a simple word. It's a gentle word. It comes out of the power of heaven to become a son or a daughter of God in a broken, broken culture. Our no is very, very powerful. What are you afraid of? Like, really, what are you afraid of? If I can make you afraid, I can make you do a lot of things. I can make you buy things. Listen, if I can make you afraid, I can manipulate you all kinds of ways. If I can make you afraid, I can keep you in a marriage that is really, really abusive. And you should either change your posture or get out of it. Like, but if you can't say no, here's the simplest way to look at this. I'll give you the scriptural idea of this. What does the Bible say about loving your neighbor? How do you love them? As yourself. If you have no no, you have no self. Because you have no boundaries. It's like living in a house with no doors. Anybody can walk in, do whatever they want, walk right back out. They can walk in with their pile of crap. They can walk in and take a crap right in your living room, right there. There's a visual for you. Just take a dump right in the middle of your living room. And then walk right back out. No door, no windows, the weather comes in, the people come in. They take whatever they want. They leave whatever they want. No boundaries. That means you have no self. If you have no self, how could you love your neighbor as yourself? Like, some of us got married under the context that we were just becoming ourselves, that would establish our boundaries, that you and me, it's just you and me. God, I hate weddings. I do. I hate them. I hate them. I hate them because of all the stupid things that get said that aren't true and how the people just look at each other. Oh, yes. Yes, I do. I promise I'll do everything you say for the rest of my life. And I promise you, honey, I will cherish you. No, he won't. I will obey you. No. I'll do all the things, honey. And then they say all these things. And the most destructive thing about it is this idea that when we do this, we're becoming a self. Like, you can only become a self as Trinity kisses you, and you become a self. Marriage will not make you a self. And here's the full circle thing. I got to find a place to land this. The full circle thing about marriage is, like, if you could turn it around, if you could flip it over and see it from the other side, your marriage could be very effective in doing this, because there's really few things in the world as effective at making you miserable as a marriage. And it will make you miserable to the level of your unholiness. It'll point to it. It'll shove you up against your unholiness, and it will show you how uncharitable you are, how ungenerous you are, how selfish you are, how afraid you are. It'll shove you up against those things, and it might be working just fine, but you are trying to become a self by getting married to someone who would tell you who you are. And the only person you can marry who will tell you who you are is Jesus. And when he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, he meant it. And he sealed it in blood. He sealed it in blood. Here it is. He sealed it in flesh and blood. There it is, the torn body, the shed blood. Like, no one ever did that for you or will do that for you. And the only way you can become a self is to be married to him. Now, if you look at what's happening in marriage, what's really happening is you're seeing how unself you are. It's like, oh, this is what happened over 40 years. Like I told you, it's not been pretty, but it's been effective. I learned that I wasn't a son of God, that I really wanted to be a husband of Tina more than I wanted to be a son of God. And you know what? As I said over the weekend, I'm married to Mother freaking Teresa. I mean, it's really difficult to be married to someone that nice. It drives you crazy. It's like, I hate it. Like, do something wrong so I can be really mad. It's like, right? It's just hard. But I came up against my brokenness. I came up against my uncharitableness, my unholiness in being married to Tina. And I had no place to go. Where am I going to go? I thought I was going to become a husband of Tina, and I found it being very unsatisfying. Like, I got my Slurpee into that, I got my straw into that Slurpee, and I sucked it to the very bottom. It was like, there's no Slurpee left. And I still don't feel like I'm me. Oh, I must need somewhere else to become me. And it turned me to heaven. And it turned me to start listening for the uh-huh or the uh-uh of the Holy Spirit to say, yeah, this is not you. This is not you, the Son of God. But you could become the Son of God. Listen, I'm glad you clapped for 40 years of marriage. I mean, that's, if you didn't clap for 40 years of marriage, you probably, it's like, it's a social obligation, 40 years of marriage. But listen, I'll tell you what you're clapping for. What you're clapping for is blood, sweat, and tears. And let me also tell you this. It isn't like I have what you can't have. I don't. Everybody has access to what I have. It's not far away. What is that scripture? It's not far away. The words are even in your mouth. Just say yes. If you had just in this moment, and we're going to take communion, and this is he's the one who proposed marriage. He got down on one knee. Heaven got down on one knee and said, will you marry me? Will you marry me? Will you have me? The proposal of heaven. Will you become my bride? I propose marriage to you. I'll give you my life and I won't take it back, which is what marriage actually is. I'll give you my whole life. I won't take it back. That's what Jesus said. And when you said yes and you took that first breath of air of heaven and you realized, oh, I could be a son or a daughter of God, it felt good. And immediately somebody started shooting bullets in you. And guess what? You forgot who you were and you've taken a lot of hits. Okay, that's all right. Like, stand back up again. Stand back up again. Stand back up again. Stand back up again. It isn't in your strength anyway. Just here. Is he saying yes? Is he saying uh-huh? Is he saying uh-huh to you right now? I can't say uh-huh. I can't say anything. I'm just saying the words that the Holy Spirit gave me to say this morning. What is he saying to you? Is he saying stand up? Then stand up. Become the son of God, the daughter of God you were born to be. I'll tell you what, it's a very fun thing to do. To finally, and I'm 60. I know I don't look it. I'm 60 now. To look in the mirror. And I don't know, maybe you haven't had this experience. Maybe you don't know what I mean. But to, at 60 years old, look in the mirror and go, I think I like that guy. And I'm not striving. I'm not trying to become anymore. I'm just content to be. That's joy. And marriage has been one of the discipleship courses that I've been enrolled in. Parenthood's another. Being a Navy officer's another. Being in ministry is another. All these discipleship courses have tended to one thing. I will lead you to yourself as you walk with me. It's very simple. Do you want to become yourself? There's only one way to do that. You got to know Jesus. I'm going to pray for us, and then Pastor Steve's going to come lead us in communion. Father God, I thank you for this opportunity I've had to speak to your people. I love you, Jesus. I love you. I thank you for your proposal. I thank you that you leaned across eternity and kissed me on the lips and said, I love you. I thank you for sending your engagement ring, the Holy Spirit, to live on me and in me, to speak to me, to remind me that I belong to you. And I thank you, Father God, for your plan. It's a good plan. It's a good plan. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.